Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful service. This new day, the first Sunday service of this year. And it is a blessed service already. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said,
Amen.
Now, O Lord, thine is the greatness and the power, the glory and the kingdom. All that is in the heaven and the earth is thine, and we give you all the glory. Now, Lord, let your name be magnified in the message of the Lord. And as always, we know it brings light into our lives. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. If you are with me, come on, let me hear some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this message, God is changing your story for 2015. For 2015, I put that in parentheses. But God is changing your story.
Amen.
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 Now, you say, God will be changing my story? Well, absolutely. And you stay with me in this message, and let's see where the Lord is going to take us. I am going to start in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. And I will start from verse 1. I will be reading the first 6 verses. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he, that was the potter, wrought a work on the wheels. So the potter was making some kind of pottery. Had some clay, and he was making some things. That's what a potter does. And the vessel which he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. That means it was messed up. He was making it, but it was messed up. So he made it again, another vessel, even as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Can you say amen? And then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter has done, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the hands of the potter, even so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And remember, the potter, he made it again. He took a piece of clay that he was working on, which got messed up, and he made it again as it pleased him. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is going to change your story for 2015. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if your story was already good, the Lord's going to make it better. If your story wasn't as good as it should have been, then he's going to make it good. But the Lord will be changing your story because he has called the times. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. We spoke about the Lord that calls and appoints the times. We spoke about that on New Year's Eve. And this is you can say that this is riding on the tail of that and going in further into this message. So the Lord will be changing your story. Now, I'm going to show us how the Lord does things in order for him to bring this to pass. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, at the very beginning, we see the story of how the Lord created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, we are told. Verse 2 says, and the earth was without form. Actually, the earth became without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, God saw the darkness, and he saw the thing that was without form and void, and he didn't like it. So the Spirit of God moved. Now, God's Spirit is going to move upon your life.
Amen.
Now, it takes God's Spirit to move to bring order out of chaos. Now, in the beginning, something happened actually between those first two verses. But, you know, when the Lord looked at it and it was without form and void. Now, God doesn't like void. That means that, you know, a life that is without purpose. A life that is, you know, without form, that is chaotic. you know, it's just out of order. Everything is just, you know, that's not the way God wants it. God's Spirit can move over the face of the waters, and he can bring calmness, and he can bring order out of that chaos. It's nobody like that Holy Ghost that can do it. Amen? And he's going to, and that's how God began to change the story. He saw that darkness, he didn't like it. He said, let there be light. And he began to change the story. Hallelujah. And he saw the void and the form and everything was out of order. And he began to bring the form. And he said, let this be like this and let that be like that and so on. And God began to put things in order. He brought order out of that chaos. Now, there may be chaos and things out of order, things out of kilter in your life. You know, God will change that story. Amen. Amen. If you believe that, you can say amen.
Amen.
That's right. Now, let me show you some examples of some people in the Bible real quickly that God changed their story. Now, it doesn't matter how long your story or your condition has been.
Amen.
You know, that's not, that means nothing to the Lord at all. Because look, really, if you look at it, you know, 1,000 years with the Lord is like a day. You know, so, you know, 30 years, whatever, you know, it's nothing. You know, but the Lord is fixing to do something. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There was a man, the Bible says, in the book of John, chapter 5, there was this man for many years. In fact, his story was one of being crippled. His story was one of, you know, rejection. His story was one that, I mean, he was just, he was going nowhere for 38 years in the book of John, chapter 5. And it happened that there was something that happened at a particular time of the season. You know, I mean, at a particular time of the year. There was an angel sent from God that troubled the waters. And when he troubled the waters, whosoever stepped into the water first, after the troubling thereof, you know, was healed of whatever condition he had. So people camped out. You know, kind of like how people camp out for Black Friday or whatever it is. They camped out. You know, they were waiting for, like they wait for the store to open. They were waiting for the moving of that water, you know, because they knew that, look, whatever happened, whoever gets in there, the first is going to be healed. No matter what the situation is, the story is going to be changed. So this man, you know, he was there a long time. So let's listen to this story in the book of John, chapter 5, and I pick it up from verse 1. And, you know, he says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, at Jerusalem, there in the sheep market, there's a pool, you know, called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in this lay a great multitude of impotent folk. You know, they're there all the time, blind, halt, withered, and they're waiting for the moving of the water. Because an angel came down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, there was a certain man there of an infirmity that had this story for 38 years of his life. He had this infirmity, 38 years. Now, when Jesus came there and he saw him, the Bible says, when Jesus came and knew that he had been now a long time in that condition. Amen, folks? Jesus knows your situation. Amen? The man didn't have to tell Jesus anything. Jesus came there and he knew exactly that the man had been a long time in that condition. You know, so he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? You know, Jesus is fixing to change the man's story. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
And the man said, what kind of question is that? I am here waiting for the moving of the pool, you know, the water and so forth. And you're telling me, of course I want to be made whole, but I don't have anybody to help me. Because whoever gets in there first, you know, gets that miracle. And I'm too slow. Somebody always gets in ahead of me and so forth. You know, and he began to say to the Lord and so forth. And the Lord said, never mind about the water. Hallelujah. Never mind about the angel. Never mind about the pool. I'm right here. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's right. And the Lord said, you know, just one word to him. Take up thy bed. Right. And you know, and just like that, my land. Jesus, how quickly he can change that situation. You know, but I want to bring something else out from this story, though. This man, you know, he was looking to the pool. He was looking to the angel and the staring on the water and so forth, and there's nobody to help me. This is kind of like people, you know. People are always saying, well, nobody's helping me. Nobody's going to help you. Vain is the help of man. But the Lord is going to help you. Praise the Lord. You don't say, well, nobody's helping me and so forth. Never mind about that. Put your eyes on the Lord. Amen. And he will do it. Even if God wants to help you through somebody, it will be God using that person. And God will be the one that will get the glory. Nobody can do anything to help you except it's by God. So never mind about people. Never say, well, there's nobody to help me and so forth, get ahead in life. There's nobody to help me get in the pool. Everybody else is getting ahead of me. And somebody else has somebody to help them get a job. And I don't have nobody and so forth. Jesus said, never mind about all that. I'm right here. Amen. Amen. That's right. I'm right here for you today. And I will change your story. Amen. Never mind if somebody is there. You know, so this man, he kept looking. The source of his miracle, he thought, was in the pool. He thought his breakthrough was coming from that water. Hallelujah. But that's not where it's coming from. It's coming from the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, because of his mercies, throughout all that time and so forth, he allowed that angel to come down there once in a while and do that for them and so forth. But when the Lord himself is there, forget about angel. Forget about pool. Forget about water. Forget about people helping you. Latch on to the Lord himself. And he will give you the miracle that you desire. Amen. God will change your story. And this man, 38 years of infirmity in that condition, Jesus, just like that, he changed his story. Amen. And the man went from being a beggar, went from being a cripple, went from, you know, being somebody that was looked down upon, that people gave him loose change. That's all they gave him, loose change all the time and so forth. This man went to becoming somebody that had life. And he became a vibrant person. And he could do whatever he wanted. He could get a job. He could do whatever. The Lord changed his story. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's another story here in the book of John. Chapter 9. In this case, this man, he was born blind for 40 years. You know, and the people said to the Lord, you know, they said, you know, why is it that, you know, this man was born blind? Was it because of the sins of his parents? Or was it because of his own sins? Now listen to this answer of Jesus in chapter 9 of John and verse 3. And Jesus said, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Oh my. Now, that's got to be one of the hardest things that I have read in this Bible. You know, I mean, 40 years this man was suffering. You know, and the Lord said, it's not even because of his parents' sins. This man was born blind. I mean, why should somebody be born blind? You know, I mean, why? I mean, was it his parents? Because, you know, here's the thing. Every time something bad happens to people, somebody else is quick to say it's because they did something wrong. You know, everybody. Something bad happens to you, somebody say, well, it's because you did that. It's because you, even Job was the same thing. His friends came around and said, well, you know, was there ever any righteous man that suffered and so forth? You know, look at you and so on. You must have done something wrong. People are so quick to always saying that it's because you did something wrong. And that's the same situation. Even the disciples of Jesus said, was it this man sin himself or even his parents that made him to be like this? And Jesus said, no, it wasn't because of that. You know, but there is a calling of time from God. God appointed the time that the Lord will be upon the scene and that the works of God will be made manifest in this man's life. That's right. Now, it wasn't, his sickness did not glorify God. But the day of his deliverance, that's what glorified God. The day that God changed his story. This man went from being blind. Everybody knew him. He was a blind man. But one day, Jesus said unto him, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed and he came back seeing. And he said, glory to God in the highest. And of course, the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and so forth, they wouldn't have any part of it. And then, you know, they tried to discredit that miracle and so forth like that. You know, but you know the rest of the story. You know, this man's story went from being blind for 40 years. God changed his story. Hallelujah. I dare say, folks, it doesn't matter whether it is 38 years being crippled like that man in chapter 5 or this man 40 years in chapter 9. It doesn't matter how long the condition has been. Now remember, it is a condition. Praise the Lord. And no condition is permanent. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. In fact, I say to you by the word of the Lord, in 2015, if you can believe it, God will change those negative conditions. Amen. Amen, somebody. Amen. Oh, my. Well, let me tell you another story. You know, I mean, if I was you hearing this, I'd be shouting, you know. In the book of Luke, chapter 5. Now, this was the story of Peter. Peter is an expert fisherman. You know, he did that, you know, that was his trade. He knew his business, and he knew his craft. But he was out there, the Bible says he was out there, you know, all night long, and he caught nothing. And he went on and on and on, and he caught nothing. And even his companions and the ships and so forth that were with him, they caught nothing. But Jesus was fixing to change that story. Hallelujah. So here's what happened. You know, Jesus, after he preached to the crowd and so forth, he saw two ships side by side. And he chose Simon Peter's own. And he said, and the Lord has a way that he's going to bring blessing to you. Amen. So he chose that, and he sat there, and he told Peter, he said, launch out into the deep. Amen. Launch out into the deep. And the Lord is going to tell you, some of you, this year, you know, break forth, hallelujah, with no limits. Break forth and launch out and see what the Lord is going to do for you. And Peter, you know, Peter, immediately, he said, well, Lord, launch out into the deep, you know, and so forth. You know, he said, yes. Look at chapter 5 of Luke and verse 5. When the Lord told him in verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering and said, Master, we have toiled all night. Now, I want you to notice something here in this story. You know, not that Jesus didn't know they have toiled all night. Of course he knew that. You know, and listen to Peter's reaction. You know, this is the way the human mind always works. But you have to immediately arrest your human mind. That's right. Peter's mind was immediately going this way, and he arrested his mind. He said, well, Lord, you know, I have been doing this all night. I have not caught anything. You know, I mean, the fish are not biting. This is, it's not going to work. His mind began to tell him that. But he immediately, he remembered that this is the master. Hallelujah. And he said, nevertheless. And I love that word, folks. Nevertheless, no matter the condition that I'm going through right now, nevertheless, at thy word, hallelujah, I will let down the net. And when he did that, my lands, the Bible says they took an intake of fish that their nets almost break. They couldn't pull it in. They had to beckon to the other ship to come and help them and so forth. Jesus can change that story. Now, some of you are struggling with something and it's not going anywhere. Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's not moving. You know, it's kind of like this Peter. You know, something is not going right and so forth. Maybe you've been doing it all night long. Maybe it's even all year long. Maybe it's even years long and it's not working. Jesus is fixing to change that story. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And he will change the story. But you must believe. You must say like Peter, you know, I don't know how long, you know, and so forth like that. You know, but even, you know, now, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God can change that story. There was another story here, another interesting story in here, you know, in the book of John chapter 11. This is the story of Lazarus, and many of you know this story. And when Lazarus was sick, Jesus was close by, so they sent word to him. They said, your friend Lazarus is sick. Now, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode still 2 more days in the same place where he was. I mean, you would think that when he heard that his friend was sick, he would jump up and quickly go. No. In fact, he delayed. Are you still with me, folks? Well, let me read that story to you in case you're saying, well, is that really in the Bible? Absolutely, it is in the Bible. So Jesus, he actually delayed even more. Amen. So let's look at this in John chapter 11. You know, so you can read the first few verses there. And they said to him, Lord, you know, this and so forth, you know, sick. And when Jesus in verse 4 heard that he's sick, he said, look, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that God might be glorified. Remember, Jesus is always focusing on the glory of God. You know, people are focusing on the pain and the suffering and so forth. But God is focused, the Lord is focusing on his glory. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And anytime you can make it, turn it around to make it about the glory of God, your answer is quicker in coming. You know, don't focus too much on your suffering. Focus on the glory of God that is to come because of your deliverance. When God will change your story, focus on the glory of God, and the answer will be quicker in coming. Amen. So look at verse 6. Now, when Jesus heard that he had been sick, he abode still 2 more days in the same place where he was. Now, isn't that like, you know, we feel today that, well, Lord, you know, why is it that God doesn't show up when I needed him? Why doesn't he show up and so forth like that? Well, he will show up at his own time. Amen. Yeah. Amen, folks. Yeah. God is never early and he's never late. He's always on time. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, in fact, when he came finally, after the Lazarus was dead and so forth, you know, of course, the disciples didn't understand that he was dead, you know, and then he told them finally. And when he came there, the first thing that Martha, you know, so Martha ran to him in verse 21 and said, Lord, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you would have answered my prayer, I will not be in this situation that I'm in right now. I prayed when my brother was sick. You didn't show up. Now he's dead, buried. I mean, went through all that grief. Now you show up. You could have showed up when he was sick. Amen. You know, and she began to think like that, you know, and so forth. But immediately, just like Peter, immediately she corrected herself. And she said, you know, here's what he said. But I know, verse 22, but I know that even now, hallelujah, you can still change that story. Even now, though he's dead and whatever and so forth like that, whatsoever you ask of God, we know he will give it to you. Now, some of you are here today that may have a situation that have lingered too long. And you may have thought that God didn't answer you and he didn't show up and so forth. I challenge you today, like this woman did, that you look don't look at, you know, the gravity of the situation, but say, even now, hallelujah. Nevertheless, and even now, nevertheless, no matter how bad it is, and even now, no matter how bad it is, God can change that story. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The Lord may allow the situation to even get worse before it gets better. He knows what he's doing. Never mind about that. But even now, believe that God can change your story. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going to quickly tell you, hallelujah, some stories and other set of stories from the Old Testament that God changed their story. Now, I've showed you some miracles and some things that Jesus did in the New, but I'm going to go back to the Old Testament and I have so many cases here, but for time, I'm going to pick out just 3 stories. 3 stories here where God changed their story. And I'm going to bring out some highlights about each story. Now, I want you to stay with me as we go through these stories. And let's see what the Lord is going to bring out. Praise the name of the Lord. The stories that we are going to go through of how God changed their situation and changed their story. We're going to go through the story of Esther, the story of Daniel, and the story of Joseph. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me start with the story of Esther, not in any particular order. You know, I just picked those, you know, just like that. Let's start with the story of Esther. Now, you have to read the whole book of Esther to get the story. But I believe there is a message on the website from January, I think the first service of January 2010 or something like that. I preached on this message of, you know, table in the presence of your enemies. It was the story of Esther. If you haven't listened to that, you can go and listen to it. It will bless your heart. You know, what God did and how God turn that situation around. You know, so I'm not going to preach all that again today, but I want to highlight something in this story about Esther. Now, you may know the story about Esther. Esther was a slave girl. Amen? Now, she went from slavery to royalty. God changed that story. Of course, the Lord had a reason for it, but I tell you what God has done in the past, he can do again. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's in Hebrews 13 and 8. So if you read the whole story of Esther, you'll see how God began to orchestrate that. Now, you know, here's a good saying for you. You know, When you are down to nothing, remember, God is up to something. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Esther was down to nothing, but God was up to something. And in order for God to bring to pass what he wanted to do, he actually began to make some things. Let's keep the babies quiet, please. He began to do some things. And he made the queen at that time. He allowed the queen at that time to be rude to her husband and so forth like that. And they couldn't, you know, she wouldn't respond when her husband called her the king and all of that. So his counselors came to him and said, away with this woman. You know, if you let her get away with this, none of us will have any respect from her wives. Why don't you seek out somebody else to replace her and so on? So that's how the story went. And quickly, God began to give Esther favor. And at the end of it, Esther was chosen because there was something that God had in line. And so she went from being a slave woman to being a queen. Hallelujah. And the very man, like I said, you have to go listen to that other message. But the very man that would do them evil, God used his own hand and his own mouth to promote Esther's uncle Mordecai. Praise the Lord. And how God changed not only Esther's story, but also Mordecai's story. How God changed the story of the Jews that this man Haman wanted to kill. He wanted to kill them all because of Mordecai, who wouldn't bow down to him. And he said, you know, this man is of the Jews. I'm going to destroy them all. And his friend said, yep, you know, do it. You know, so he had all his plan and so forth, but God turned that around. Amen. Amen, folks. God turned it around and made the very person who was going to destroy them be the one that will serve up the blessing on the plate for Mordecai. Amen. Hallelujah. And so one day, you know, the king said, well, you know, there's somebody that has done something for us. God was fixing to do something. He said, there's somebody that has certified me a few times and so forth, and nothing has ever been done to him. God began to move upon this man. God didn't allow him to sleep. You see, when God wants to bless you, he begins to orchestrate things. Amen. So God began to move on the king, and the king said, wow. Nothing's been done for this. So he said, well, what am I going to do? And as soon as he was saying it, this man Haman came into the court, you know, and the Lord said, well, what shall the king do to the man that the king wants to honor? So this man thought that, oh, well, who else would the king want to honor? You know, I'm already second in command. You know, and I'm already all of these things. And so he said, oh, do this, do that, give him your ring, put him on your horse, do all of this. And he said, all right, that's exactly how it'll be. You go do that to Mordecai. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God will change that story. When the calling of time is at hand, he knows how to change. When the time of promise begins to get near, God begins to do some things. God begins to orchestrate some things. God put that man right there, smack down in the middle of the court at the very time that the king was looking for a suggestion of what to do and so forth. And he put Mordecai's enemy there, the Jews' enemy there, and he suggested the glorification and the honor and the promotion. It was his own mouth that suggested it. And his own hands carried it out. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. That's how God can change the story. Anybody that is plotting evil against you in 2015, God will change that story. Hallelujah. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper in the year 2015 and beyond. Isaiah 54 and 17. Hallelujah. And every tongue that will rise against you in judgment, like the tongue of Haman that said, I will kill all of these people and so forth, God will condemn it. And God will set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And God will use your enemies to serve on that table. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I absolutely believe it. And I am expecting it, and I will see it. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. This year, well, I don't have any enemies, actually. But, you know, whatever enemies think that they are, they will serve up. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. And I will eat in the presence of my enemies. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see God changed that story of, you know, Esther. But the story is a lot deeper than that. You know, I just brought out a few highlights. Story is a lot deeper than that. You know, and, you know, but what I want to bring out from that story is all these pieces of how God changed various situations and how God took Esther from nobody. She was a nobody going nowhere. Hallelujah. God took her from that and put her upon the throne and put favor upon her. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And God used that favor to save the whole nation, you know, the Jews at that time. I mean, that's how God would do things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The story of Daniel. Moving on quickly. Daniel was also a slave. He was of the sons of the captivity that were carried away by Nebuchadnezzar and all of these people and so forth. You know. So, okay. Again, Daniel went from being a nobody, a slave, a nobody, into the president of the presidents. Praise the Lord. He was the chief among all of the presidents. And he was promoted to the highest position, except just for the king. I mean, he got so high, you know, all the other presidents and everybody were under him. And how did it happen? Because the favor of God was upon him. Hallelujah. God will choose, you know, whom he will put his favor on. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have. And God chose Daniel. And even Daniel said, well, when they said, Lord, well, you all line up and so forth, you know, let's see who the king will choose. You know, we want some nice, young-looking men and so forth. We're going to prepare you and give you all these meats and so forth, make you look so good. We don't want any of those dainties. Our God will make us look good. Amen, folks. Just give me a little pulse over here and a little some vegetables and so forth like that, and I'm more blessed and the Lord's going to make me good. My goodness. You know, and the next thing you know, he was favored with his friends, of course. He had three other friends. He was favored above everybody else. You know, and that's how God will do and change your story. Amen. God can take you from being nobody and nothing, and he can bring you up to somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, you know, these folks were down to nothing, but God was up to something. And God was bringing something out. And the next thing you know, Daniel, he was above everybody else. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And even the people, you know, the king and everybody, they promoted him and so on. And then they wanted to kill him too. They said, well, they were all, you know, envious of him because of all the promotions and everything. So they began to be envious. And they said, well, what are we going to do about this Daniel? He's a perfect man. We're never going to find any fault against him. How many of you like that testimony? That's right. That is a righteous man. Praise the Lord. And even God, one time, God testified about Daniel himself. Said, oh, Daniel and, you know, Noah and all these people stand before me and so forth. You know, I won't change my mind, you know, and so on. So this man was a righteous man. They couldn't find any evil against him. And they said, well, the only way we are going to get him is something that has to do with the matter of his God. So let's plot something. Let's make something that we know that he is going to not obey. Then we can get him. So they plotted, and you know the story, so they plotted and all of that and so forth, the story of the lion's den. They plotted all of that, Daniel wouldn't budge. You know, praise the Lord. And all the people that plotted to destroy him, they themselves ended up inside that lion's den. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. Of course, they threw Daniel there. Now, this is not the case of God not letting him go in there. God could have prevented it, but God did not prevent it. God let him be thrown into the lion's den for us to know that God is able to do that as well. Amen. God is able to do it. And so Daniel, he had a night, you know, long, good night's rest. He slept on, you know, these lions, they have this big mane and everything. And maybe one of them was a cushion for him. He just slept. He had fun. You know, just slept and so forth, you know. And the king couldn't sleep because the king really loved Daniel. You know, so the king couldn't sleep. The king woke up and he was praying all night. He was having night vigil for Daniel. Amen. He couldn't sleep. So he finally came and said, Daniel, servant of the most living God, is your God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver you from the lions? Hallelujah. Woo! And the man said, O king, peace be unto you and so forth. You know, in so much as God found no ill in me, he has sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions. And we had fellowship all night long with the lions. Praise the Lord. Woo! And the king said, quickly, get him out of there. And bring all those people that accused him and throw them in the den. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And the lions got the mastery of them even before they reached the bottom. Break every piece of their bones, their families, everything. You don't go up against the anointed of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible said they are the apple of my eye. He that toucheth me, oh my goodness. You stay away from, you know, messing with God's people. Amen. Praise the Lord. And look, believers, don't worry about your enemies. Just worry about walking in the path of righteousness. Amen. Don't worry about that kind of stuff. God will take care of that. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So God took care of it. Now, moving on quickly. You have to read all of that in the first few chapters and then chapter 6 of Daniel and so on. So I'm going to move on. The story of Joseph. Many chapters from like Genesis 39, clear on through the end. There's a couple of chapters in between that digress into something else, but most of it from 39, clear on through the end, is about the story of Joseph. Genesis 39, clear on. So you have to read all that. I don't have time to read it all. But you know the story. Joseph, you know, one of the children of course, Jacob. And Jacob loved him more than the others because he was kind of like the son of his old age. So Jacob kind of favored him and so forth. And this man, he had dreams. Always, you know, he would have these dreams and he couldn't keep his mouth shut. And he would always say, well, he told his brothers one day, you know, one day I had a dream. He said, you know, we were in the field and I saw that you all had sheaves and I had sheaves too. And all your sheaves were bowing down to mine. Well, they didn't like that at all. You know, as if that was not enough. One day he said, even in the presence of his father, you know, I had this dream. I saw 11 stars, the sun and the moon, and they made obeisance to me. And the father said, what? Are you trying to say the sun and the moon, your mother and myself, and the stars, the 11 stars, your 11 brothers will bow down to you? He said, don't be saying this thing now. But nevertheless, Jacob, he kept these things in his mind. Well, you know, Joseph said, well, what I saw is what I saw. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. What I saw is what I saw. Well, they plotted everything. You know it. They plotted everything to get rid of him. They said, well, here comes that dreamer. Now we'll see what will become of his dreams. Of course, Reuben, you know, labored to save him and so forth. But instead of killing him, they sold him into slavery and so forth. And when he got into slavery, in the house of Potiphar, even Potiphar's wife connived against him and so forth, you know, framed him and all that because he wouldn't sleep with her and all that. You know, and he just, everything just started going terrible for this young man. He was just about 17. Can you imagine, you know, being carried all the way from the land of, you know, Canaan over there, all the way to Egypt, a foreign country and so forth. As such, he turned that, you know, young age. Can you imagine seeing your brothers bind you hand and foot and throw you into a dungeon and being sold into slavery and all of this is so far away. He had no clue, you know, where he was going. He didn't know. And when he got there, he didn't know what was going on. But God's favor was with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God will change that story from being a prisoner and all of these things. God will bring him to the vice regent in the land. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you something too. The purpose of God in your life will stand. Amen. The devil cannot change it. No matter how much conniving and so forth those people did, actually, everything they did that was contrary to Joseph got and moved him closer to his destiny. Amen. Amen. Everything that happened to him was actually moving him closer to his destiny. Even when he got to the house of Potiphar, the Bible says that God blessed the house of Potiphar because of this man. There was so much anointing, so much favor. That was why Potiphar's wife began to eye this young man. And my goodness, this young man has so much anointing and so much this. And she wanted to do something and kill him and destroy his soul. But Joseph wouldn't do it. Amen. Amen. His first allegiance was to the Lord. And he said, I will not do this great evil before the Lord. My master has kept nothing back from me except you. I won't do it. And then they threw him, you know, finally into the slammer. You know, and he had to go into that prison to meet Pharaoh's baker and his butler. Amen? He was already doing okay, so to speak, in Potiphar's house. I mean, Potiphar was chief of army staff, and he was, you know, the head of all of Potiphar's house. But he went down from there, and he went down into the dungeon. He went to nothing. But when he was down to nothing, and I know, when he was down in that dungeon, they threw him into a slammer. I know the devil probably came to me and said, Joseph, Joseph, where are all those dreams that you have? And where is your God? Look at you. You are in prison now. You will become nothing. You will amount to nothing. You will rot and you will die in this prison. That's how the old Lucifer, he would do that. Amen? That's his job. He'll do that too. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Destroy your hopes, destroy everything, kill, steal your joy, and so on. But Joseph, his eyes were on the Lord. And God used that gift finally. You know how the story went finally by interpretation and so forth like that. Eventually, one of the men he reinterpreted dreams for remembered him and said, wow, there is a man that I met in prison. He can interpret this dream that Pharaoh had. And so Pharaoh sent for him, and when he came, he interpreted the dream. And he said, the dream is the same. God showed it to Pharaoh twice because it is of a certainty what God will do. Now, here's what you do, here's what you do, here's what you do. And Pharaoh said, well, let us search the land out and so forth. Everybody said, let us search the land out. You know, Joseph suggested it. Search the land out for a man that has the spirit of God and wisdom and so forth and discretion, and he can organize things for you during the years of plenty and so on and so forth. And Pharaoh said, inasmuch as the spirit of God is upon you to bring forth this kind of wisdom and revelation, there is nobody in the land but you. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Woo! He said, bring forth my ring and put it on his finger. Bring my coat and put it upon him. Bring my chariot. Hallelujah! And say, this is Joseph and I am Pharaoh. And there is nobody that will do anything in Egypt except by Joseph. I am Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, and in no time at all, of course, you know, when God told Joseph, God said, when he saw all those dreams, you know, he probably was thinking, wow, well, maybe someday I'll be a great man. Maybe someday my brothers will bow down to me. I don't know, you know, what this thing means. So far, we're not. We don't know that God told him the interpretation, but he told the dream. But God didn't tell him. See, this is God. God didn't tell him that you are going to have to go to prison. And God didn't tell him that you're going to have to go to slavery. And you're going to be almost killed, and you're going to be away from your family for years. God didn't tell him any of that. God just told him that, you know, you'll be a star. I mean, you'll be great. Praise the Lord. So God may not tell you the whole story because, you know, that is God. He doesn't have to tell us everything. Some people think that God owes them explanation to everything. God doesn't owe you anything. He may tell you if he pleases, and he may not. You know, but one thing that we must have is faith in the living God. We must know that whether he tells us or doesn't tell us, he who holds the future, he's with us. Amen. You know, and I have absolute confidence that the Lord will guide me through the future. Praise the Lord. Whether he reveals the future to me or not, that's wonderful. If he does, and he does sometimes, and that's great. You know, but, you know, even if he doesn't, praise the Lord. The secret things belong unto the Lord, but those which are revealed belong unto us. So if he reveals them, that's great. If he doesn't, but still we trust the Lord. But no matter what they did, they couldn't put down Joseph. In fact, they got him closer every time to his destiny. And finally, God changed his story and brought back the original story. Amen. Changed his story from prison. One day he was in prison. The next day he was, you know, president of the land. Second only to the king. Same thing with Daniel. And same thing with Esther. Now, do you believe that God can change your story? The God whom we have read some of these stories that did all of these things. You know, is he a God afar off? Is he a God of the Old Testament? Is he a God of Daniel? Is he a God of Esther only? Is he a God of Peter? All these things. I mean, is he a God of Martha to raise her brother? I mean, is he a God only of all of these people in the Bible? Joseph? Is he not a God in the now? Amen? If you believe that God is in the now, I want you to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. And that's the end of my message, and I'm going to pray. But I will also declare something unto you in this prayer segment, that the Lord is going to change your story.
Amen.
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 Yes. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And as I sought the Lord for the New Year's Eve and also today's service, and the Lord began to give me these things and so forth, you know, and I was just, you know, ponder them in my heart. I don't want to, you know, people like to say wonderful things at the beginning of the year and so forth. You might hear preachers say wonderful things at the beginning of the year and all that and so on. You know, everybody wants wonderful things. And I didn't want to just come out here and say something because it's the beginning of the year. So I had to seek the Lord. But I can say this now. Hallelujah. Having sought the Lord, that God is going to change your story.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, if you are here this morning, real quickly, I am going to do this. If you are here this morning and you say, I know God is going to change my story. You may have been struggling with something. It could have been, you know, well, this man was 38 years. The other one was 40 years. The other one was all night long. He, you know, his business didn't do anything. You know, whatever it was, you know, even death and so forth, God can turn it around. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me have you come forward and stand before me here this morning. And I will, while you are here, I am going to read two things to you. Actually, this one I will not read. I will just say the story. But I wanted it, I left it for while people are standing here. It's really part of the message. But I wanted to leave it until you are standing right here. This story is in the story of Ezekiel chapter 37, the dry bones. Hallelujah. And I am going to use that to prophesy into your lives here this morning. Amen. Just like the Lord, he told Ezekiel, prophesy unto the dry bones. You know, now, it's not that God needed Ezekiel, but God was showing us a pattern. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to do the same. And I have permission to prophesy unto dry bones here this morning.
Amen.
And the Lord said, can these bones live again?
Yes,
can I change the story of these dead bones?
Yes,
can I turn these bones around and bring life again?
Yes,
Ezekiel said, well, you know, hey, you know, thou knowest, Lord. And the Lord said, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it. You be the one that will prophesy life back onto the bones.
Amen.
And thou shalt be called repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray, let your word be verified, which you spoke to me already, that today you will begin the changing of stories. You will be changing lives.
Amen.
And you will begin to call the lives back to the dead bones.
Amen.
Now, I prophesy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ unto every dry and dead bone in your life. Your dreams that have been dried up. The Bible says in Romans 4 and 17, God who raises the dead. God never buries no dead. He raises the dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your dead dreams, God will change them.
Amen.
He will raise them again.
Amen.
God who calleth the things that are not as though they already are. God who calls the dry bones and said, let the Spirit of God come into them again. Let life come into the dead bones.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Behold, saith the Lord, to all the dry bones. Hallelujah. Hear ye the word of the Lord. The Spirit of God, the winds from the east, the winds from the west, begin to blow upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy to the dry bones, God will change your story. In 2005, God will change the story. God will make life come back into the dry bones. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, no matter what your condition has been, remember, it's only a condition. It is not permanent. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I can see God working in your favor. I can see God working in your favor, brother. And I can see God work. It's not because we deserve it. Let me tell you something too also. It's not because you deserve it. In fact, if you think you deserve it, you may go and sit down right now. But it's not because of that. But it is because of the mercies of a living God. Some people say, well, I deserve good things. I don't know about that. But I know that I have the mercy of the Lord on my life. And it is sweeter when you don't even deserve it. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. I prophesy in your life today that God will again cross his hands. That which does not belong to you will now come to you. Through the crossing of hands, I prophesy in Jesus' name. God will change your story. God will take that which was not supposed to be yours, or which you thought could not be yours. God will cross his hands and he will bring them to you. God will change your story. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands, sir, and begin to thank the Lord. Whatever it is that you are believing God for today, the Lord will change your story. The Lord will change your story. In 2015, he will change your story. Hallelujah. God will make the dry bones to live again. God will bring alive your dreams again. God is calling those things that are not as though they already are in your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you have struggled with sickness. You've struggled with disease. You've been managing your health care through medicine and so forth. That's wonderful. But this year, God will change your story. Hallelujah. In fact, you will look for the sickness and you will not even find it. You say, wow, you know, what happened to that back pain? Praise the Lord. What happened to that throat problem? Wow. It's been days and that's how God will change your story. Hallelujah. And you have to say, well, in 2014, I trusted the Lord. Well, the Lord did something, you know, but I really didn't get ahead. You will get ahead in 2015. God will make you head and not tail. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray a prayer over this house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this house of the Lord. In this year, Lord, let every prayer that is prayed before thee in this place, let your ear be attentive to it. And let heavens respond. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And when your people come into this house to seek your face, O God, Father, Lord, hear from heaven. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Lord, let your word be verified. Amen. Which you have spoken. That which you have spoken with your mouth, perform it as it is this day. Amen. With your hand. Amen. In the lives of all your children. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, the Lord, he said, that you will forget even the shame of your youth. Amen. Your widowhood and all of these things and so forth. You know, he said your name, he told them, your land that is forsaken, your land that is rejected, will no longer be called forsaken or deserted. You will be Hephzibah and Beulah. He said, because, you know, he said, even as young men marry, you know, and so forth. You know, I want to prophesy that some people will be married this year who have been wanting to be married for a long time. You will no longer be time forsaken. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, you say, why is it that God must do it this year? I don't know, but he called the time. Hallelujah. He called the time. And there is something also coming in the ministry that will begin to appear this year. He's called the time. There is nothing. I could not have brought it any sooner. You know, we prayed for years. There's nothing we could do about it. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, God, that day had to come. They couldn't hasten it. They couldn't delay it. Hallelujah. God has called the time again. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. God has called the time. Hallelujah. I want you to zero in for the next few minutes on the things that you want God to change in your life. And some of you that have unbelieving children that you are praying about, God will change that story. In fact, the word of the Lord said, I will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you have any situation that you are believing God for yourself or for somebody else, let's believe the Lord together right now. I want to tell you something, folks. If I can just get you to agree with the next thing I'm going to say concerning the thing that you're believing God for, God will do it. Amen, folks? Let me say that to you again. If I can just get you to agree with me, and we can agree together, the Lord said, if any two of you shall agree concerning what it is they're asking of me, I will do it. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
So, as you zero in on that thing or those things, it could be multiple things. It could be a laundry list. God is able. Praise the Lord. You don't have to ask God for one thing. I don't care if it's a million things. He'll do them all.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But if there is one particular area that you want the Lord to do, you zero in on that and the Lord's going to do it. I'm going to give you about 10 seconds to zero in your mind. Then I'm going to declare the word of faith in agreement with you. And let's believe the Lord together. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen, folks.
Amen.
I want to declare unto you by the word of the Lord. Amen. That the thing that you are trusting and believing God for, just like the Lord said Wednesday night, that my words shall no longer be prolonged.
Amen.
But I will now do that thing which I have promised.
Amen.
I want to say unto you today by the word of the Lord that I am in agreement with what you are believing God with,
yes,
for.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And as long as it's in accordance to the will of God,
yes,
and to the word of God,
yes,
I declare and decree today that it shall be done.
Yes.
It shall be done for you in Jesus' name. Jesus one time said, say not in your heart that there are 4 months to the harvest and so on. You know, don't begin to think in your mind that it's going to be a long time. God is able to do it swiftly. Just like that. Now, Lord Jesus, verify your word in the lives of your people. And do this thing that your people are asking you for today, that it may be known that you are the living God that has visited your people.
Amen.
The day star has visited us today, folks.
Amen.
And the day star is visiting us this year.
Amen.
And I declare and decree unto you that this shall be the year of total fulfillment.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I also declare that it shall be the year of total recovery.
Yeah.
Anything that the enemy has stolen, and anything that the cankerworm has eaten, the caterpillar or the locust, I will restore, saith the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Jesus said yes, nobody can say no.
Amen.
If you believe that, you can shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus has said yes.
Hallelujah.
Nobody can say no to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus said you are the head.
Amen.
And nobody can put you down.
Amen.
By my God,
yes,
I will run through troops. By my God, I will leap over walls in 2015.
Amen.
Nothing will be able to stop me in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By my God, I can do all things.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Folks, don't hang around any unbelief this year. If anybody tells you you can't do it, says who?
Amen.
Amen.
I can do all things
through Christ who strengthens me. Glory be to God in the height. You can do it, folks, because it is the glory of God that worketh in you. The Lord, is the Bible says, they got not the land in possession, Psalm 44, by their own power, but because the Lord had a favor unto them. The Lord is having favor unto you, folks. And thy people, Lord, shall be willing in the day of thy power. Lord Jesus, work a miracle in the hearts of your people to turn their hearts to believe the word that is spoken even today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Put your hands together. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on, you can do better than that for the Lord. Put your hands together. Somebody shout the victory here. Somebody shout the victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have the praise team come back up, if you would, please.